Welcome to Spaghetti Launchers, a world-building podcast where we throw spaghetti at the wall, and it is up to you what sticks. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ethan. Today's menu is all about witches and witch covens. Happy Halloween, y'all. If we pull back and really start thinking about the root of witchcraft, it started in human history with shamans, wise women, medicine women, and really playing this fundamental role in human society. It wasn't really until they started, the Salem witch trials kicked off, and then suddenly it became about women that were liberated and off doing their own thing and rejecting the yokes of society, throwing off the yokes of society, that they really became witches, and then they got tied with the devil.
As Devin Cole calls it, a woman in total control of herself.
Yeah.
Great song.
Absolutely.
Listen to it today. As we were trying to figure out the magical definition of witches in how it manifests in fantasy, it's often just, it's like the old ancient magic.
The deep magic.
Like you're saying, kind of like this, like, oh, you know, throwing off the yokes of society. There's this unknown, there's this mystery associated with witchcraft.
Agreed.
What are they up to over there?
It's like, if you think about, you know, in always going back to D&D as sort of a baseline, you've got three branches of magic. You've got primal, arcane, and divine. I always lock witches and witchcraft in my mind into the fourth, like the weird category, going back to the weird sisters in Macbeth. It's like, it's weird magic.
It's the old ones.
The old ones that, it's, you know, what did Aslan say to the White Witch in Narnia? Lion Witch in Narnia? He said, do not quote the deep magic to me, witch. I was there when it was written. It's like that kind of, that's sort of the vibe I'm going for.
Yeah.
And the reason I brought up shamans and medicine women is because I think it's really important to get at, witches are also very human. Their scope is often very much about being a link between community and the world. Because of that root in wise women, in shamans, in medicine women, they play a very important role in society. And so that's why it's always very human type interactions. You're dealing in food a lot. You're dealing in potions and brews and contracts and negotiations. And a lot of their magic is also very metaphorical. It's very tied up in the language that you use about it.
In so many cases, they're not thinking of, like, as a viewer, as a reader, you're not connected as much to that reality. And you're really connected to, like, the mystery, the quote unquote old crone coming through, and what does she want? What you know, hags, that kind of thing. You know, even like Melisandre in Game of Thrones, you know,
totally.
What was a complete witch, especially because she reveals that she's like ancient. You know, you have the, oh no, what do they want? What are they after? I can't understand this thing that they're
there's
up
always
to.
A scheme.
And the scheme is
or
usually,
a goal.
And the scheme is usually seemingly in like some greater purpose that they will never, like, either they don't feel like explaining because you know, you won't understand, or it's, you know, I don't want to say greater good, because I think oftentimes it's not, but sometimes it feels like it's like the greater cosmic good that doesn't give
it's a bigger
shit,
picture
doesn't give a shit about the cost on a human level now.
Yeah,
they're like
the
Bene
Gesserit are, I think, a perfect example of a modern take on witches and witchcraft. We're also seeing the Agatha All Along is finally getting into Marvel's version of witches. It's a little shticky and cliche, but they're getting some good stuff in there. It's actually pretty cool. It's not badly done. I've been super into Worlds Beyond Number by Brennan Lee Mulligan,
Eric Ishii, and Bria Iyengar.
Yep. And it's fantastic. I love what they're doing with witches. Erica plays a great witch. They play witches in that world play as a link between the spirit world and the human world. And how do you achieve that balance? So there's that goal built in. It's still very, they created a whole new class for it. It's still very hexy and charmy and things like that. But more importantly, there's witches there sort of have a domain, you know, so they, each of the witches in the coven have different areas of focus that they sort of represent, and it's all tied into, again, that deep magical natural law. So like, there is a witch of the Wild Hunt who, if you run in her presence, she is magically allowed to kill you. She is allowed to hunt and chase you.
This is a feature that Ethan is obsessed with, and he has raised it to me like seven times.
It's so, like, I love the idea of a magical law superseding all others, and like this person is allowed to hunt you down and kill you. Doesn't matter who you are in the real world, you cannot seek retribution. It is magically legally binding. Yeah. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, that's cool.
Also, the Night Sisters from Dathomir in Star Wars.
They're cool.
In Clone Wars.
Yeah, there's a lot of good witches out there.
Fantastic. But they're so much more interesting than the Harry Potter witches, which are just an unnecessarily gendered term for a magic user.
Yeah, they're just wizards.
It's the same. Just why you gotta be... The roots of J.K. Rowling's madness were the evidence was there for a very long time.
Yeah, piece of shit. All right, but let's get into some other new witches that we're gonna be spinning up here today. What's your tease for your idea? What have you come prepared with?
Perfectly balanced, as all things should be. Okay. What about yourself?
Urban renewal.
I want to hear about that.
Okay. So, I like the idea of witches that are, you know, their machinations are good. Their scheming is good. I'm an optimist. I try to come up with spins on things that are typically evil to make them good. But I also love the idea of them being this kind of a spiritual link, being more connected to the spirit of a place.
Yeah.
And because places have a spirit, places have a character, places have a soul in so many ways. And I wanted to create witches that were boiled down like the essence of a city. And so this is a place called Ivoria. Ivoria is like this... it is the shining city on a hill type of place that everyone hears about as this grand city that is unique and has magical features because it has a few, and I'm going with three for a typical witch coven, three highly magical buildings, constructs, places that are the spirit of a witch, that are the manifestation of a witch. So take, for instance, there's the Bridge of Ivoria, which, you know, let's say it's on like a... it's on the little island, you know, or it's there's a great ravine next to it. There's a river, however you want to do it. But they have this big bridge that is moving. It is a movable bridge. It's a magical bridge, more like a tendril that kind of sprawls out rather than like a crane that moves around.
Okay.
So it can retract immediately. It can extend immediately. It can separate itself and make seven bridges, or it can make one giant bridge. It could
kind of like crawl around.
Yeah, but not in a creepy way. I don't want to make it to feel like it's like a big spider or something like that. But it's more of like it would be the ground itself just kind of moving.
I see what you're saying.
Moving and doing this, and then, you know, while you're crossing the bridge, while you're anywhere near that bridge, you'll see the witch of the bridge kind of pop up out of the ground and greet you and talk to you and engage with you. And then you have, say, the Tower of Ivoria, which is similarly, there's a great tower that can change its shape and its features at will by the command of the soul, the witch of this tower, so that you can make it into a great lighthouse if you need. You can make it into a
clock tower.
You can make it into a giant ballista. You can make it into whatever you need it to be for the purpose of the city.
Oh, that's great.
And then you have the Grand Plaza of Ivoria that is... the central hub of existence within this place that is a little bit less, its changes are much more muted, and they're much more on like a human level where, say, somebody is disrespecting somebody they're defacing the plaza, the ground will grab them and pull like their leg down and lock them in and punish them by making them sit there in public for like 2 hours, and everyone can watch that they've been locked in and they can't, you know, they've got to just be embarrassed by this.
Sit here and you think about what you did.
Yeah. Or if it's, oh, you're committing an actual crime, we will lock you here until, you know, the town guard comes to take you away. If you're invading, good luck getting across this plaza, because the plaza is now going to become quicksand.
Or even the bridge.
Yeah. So it's like great defense mechanisms. Each of these, like, a key part is that the witches of them manifest and interact with people and show that, you know, they are trying to draw people into the city to live there. And this was a key feature of it, is that their magic is drawn from this place having once been the greatest city in the world, like the seat of power, the seat of a great empire, whatever. But they all were exterminated. They all died in some mystery way, you know, classic.
Or migration, maybe they just left.
No, they're all dead.
Nope, they're dead.
No, like, they have to be dead. That's key to the thing.
Got it.
Is that, like, they died, and these witches then are, like, basically absorbed all their souls and spirits.
Oh.
And so they are, like, each of them is actually, like, 30 or, you know, 300,000 souls.
Right.
Aggregated and then created like a new personality and a new consciousness, mm-hmm. in a witch, but they have all this magic from this previous time. So then they are trying to bring people back to recreate the glory of this place. So they are, their machination is good, but they're not clarifying to people that they're, like, drawing them into this place because they don't want people to know that everybody died.
Yeah.
Because they don't, and probably because there's a shame or there's a danger that exists in Avoria that they don't want people to know exists because then they won't come. But they need to recreate this glorious city for their own whatever. That's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've created, you know, a infrastructure and an environment that is so welcoming and so exciting for people.
Yeah.
And they are getting more power by these people coming. So there's this incentive structure that works for everybody, and everybody's kind of in a win-win.
Very symbiotic relationship.
Very symbiotic. And, you know, the conflict can come whenever it's like people start to realize that what happened to all the Avorians last time, and then they're trying to flee, and the witches say, no,
you can't. I think my favorite part of this idea is the way you've drawn a distinction, because so much of witches' typical stereotype is that they live out in the woods by themselves. They're alone. They're,
yeah.
Again, you're, it's part of the being mysterious, tied, yes, to nature, all of these tropes.
Yeah.
This idea where the witches, instead of protecting a very remote place of power, they emerge because it's all of the people gathering in this one spot made it a place of power, yes, made Avoria a place of power.
Yeah.
Which is a dramatic shift and very cool because it also allows them to be reflective, like you said, of the moods of the community as they need.
And to clarify that these features, these three things didn't exist when Avoria was at its peak.
Mm.
So, like, it was just a normal city at the time and just the seat of people. And then,
sure,
when they created
that's even cooler.
These witches were created, then they formed these features that could be used as draws for people, and
yeah,
to be more inviting and to be more of a safe space, to be protective. So it's, yeah.
You could even say that each of these, again, I'm going back to the metaphorical side of witches and the importance of language and how they normally deal. Like, hags are very similar. You know, you got to be very careful with how you negotiate and the words that you use.
Yeah.
But these witches could be, you can sort of see them as emblematic of three very important elements for a society or community to thrive. You need the town square, which represents sort of gathering, coming together, coexisting, mingling. The bridge, which is about forming connections, mm-hmm, like closing gaps between two people. And then the tower, which is about
growth, knowledge, wisdom,
strength, standing strong and tall, like,
yeah,
pride in yourself. You know, you could tell a cool story about
there's some themes built in.
Yeah, what do these things actually represent? And but again, they're good, but they're not fully, like, they have their own plans that they need to,
yeah,
to work out.
Yeah, it's,
but
it's lowercase g good.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, purely altruistic. It's not purely good. You know, there's selfishness in it. And like, you can totally make an argument that these aren't necessarily witches, mm, but, like, you can make that with a lot of things. And so it's, like,
sure,
kind of playing around with on the edges of what defines a witch. And
yeah,
I think it can work, but I think it's how do you really play it out and how do they interact? And that's why I want to make sure that they can manifest as individuals, as,
right,
people to walk around and to engage with the community, and that they know, oh, like, and like, they become, like, de facto mayors of the city.
Mm-hmm.
They are in charge, and everyone knows that. And they are respected and respectable and kind, and they aren't being the scary old crones who are going to, you know, take your kids and turn,
sure,
them into future hags.
They're just going to lock them into the ground if they graffiti shit. But
yeah, but the, you know, they're like, well, that's the deal we make to live here.
Well, so you mentioned deal. Question, you said if the law is broken, you know, if you're committing a crime, in Avoria, who determines what a crime is? Do the witches determine, or do the people determine and then the witches enforce it?
Good question. moving on.
I don't know. I think that's just fun.
Yeah, no, I think probably a bit of both. It's probably like, oh, well, there's the laws of the land. Like, in my mind, it's a bit Singapore-esque of don't you do anything that would make our city look ugly.
Yeah.
Everything needs to be pristine and clean all the time. And, and that's the witches. The witch is driving that.
Right.
And them saying, if you are doing anything like that, or if you are doing anything that's like a clear attack on the city, then that's purely our fundamental laws.
Yeah.
But then when it comes to like human
thievery.
Yeah. Like more human laws, I assume that's more of an agreement between this, like the people saying, this is the law. There's probably like an elected mayor who is like, who is the representative who like officially talks to the witches on things. And they have like a little council and the three witches have in their side of the table. And then there's like a few of the, you know, like I like the idea. There's like three seats for the witches, 10-15 seats for humans where they're like the power dynamic is so skewed and that they all kind of present to the witches, here's what we propose, and usually it works out because the witches are like, that's fine if it keeps you all here,
right?
But if it's a thing that might risk people fleeing, then they're like, no, we're not going to agree to that rule, right? Like, we won't enforce that rule.
So
I feel like there's a give and take.
I think that's a really fun mechanic, and you could tell a very cool story about how do you get humans, the people of the city of Avoria, to come together, agree. It's a great politics story.
Yes, Sonia. And taking the witches out of the background, because they're usually the manipulator of power, but they're not the person in power. In this case, I'm like, no, they're in power.
No, they're absolutely in power.
They're in power and they manipulate power, but they're in power in the open.
The way that you're talking about it makes me realize, I think something, because witches as a concept have such a long history, it's harder to define what they are. We mentioned this before, but I think the way that you're talking about it made me realize, I think it's really and this will come into play in my idea as well, it comes into a matter of scope and scale, right? What you're talking about could very easily be like, these are the gods of this city.
Yeah, yeah.
And it could be a cosmic battle.
Yeah.
But by limiting it just to the city,
It
changes it completely. It's more akin to a animist spirit where locations
like have, which, these witches can't leave the grounds of Avoria. Yeah. Like they can't leave the boundaries of Avoria. They're spirit bounded to that space.
And I think that's something really important to remember when we're talking about witches, or when you're trying to build a witch, always keep scale and scope in mind. Because that, when you're dealing with mystery and unknown, it can very easily get big and cosmic.
And then you're just like, oh, no, it's just gods.
Right.
And you're like, that doesn't work.
Keep it localized. That's really important.
Yeah.
I love this idea. I think it touches on so many of the existing tropes, but tweaks them to make them just much more interesting and a very, very modern take.
Yep. All right. Well, that is that idea. Now, Ethan, please describe to me how things are balanced as they should be.
That's the goal. The goal is to achieve balance.
True. In gymnastics and in life.
Agreed. Things are not always in balance, though.
Gymnastics and in life, yeah.
It's funny, that was good. My idea, inspired a little bit by House of the Dragon, which season 2 blissfully finished recently. God, I'm so glad that's over. There are two covens in this world. The coven of the green and the coven of the black. But I wonder
where you got the idea.
No idea. I wanted to get at this idea of balance, again, sort of dealing with the mystery, this unknowable thing, and what are witches working towards? They needed to have a goal.
Yeah.
And so I split it. I wanted there to not just be one coven, but to be two, because I like
diametrically opposed.
I like two diametrically opposed groups trying to find balance with each other internally, externally. It's very, I feel like witches are, coven stories often get very political very quickly.
Yeah.
And so I thought this was interesting. The Coven of the Green represents life, growth, thriving, abundance, all of these classical tropes. The Coven of the Black represents decay, rot, death, silence, the opposite side of things. And these two covens are in constant competition, trying to influence the state of the world through their own machinations, through their potions, their hexes, their deals. It's all very, we're not changing anything mechanically about the witches, right?
Yeah.
It's just what their goals are.
Mm-hmm.
And the
hashtag witch goals.
Hashtag witch goals. That's very good. The interesting things are, you know, coven rules, it's always when you come to coven, if you can get witches together, that's when their power is at their greatest, right? And that's true internally. So when the coven of the green is all together, they are all
stronger. Yeah.
Coven of the black. But when you put the green and black together, the closer they are in proximity to each other, their powers cancel each other out. They're nullified.
So then they just become normal people?
Normal humans.
Oh, that's cool.
The only time that they are actually fully, completely vulnerable. I think they're not immortal like gods, but I think they age slower, something like that, probably.
Yeah. And they have magical powers.
Right.
And now they don't have any control of magic. Do they start to look older, or their aging just kind of pauses?
Their aging gets unpaused.
So then they I imagine in those moments where they're closer to they start to feel their age, where they're like, oh, I'm 200. I now feel like shit.
Now it hurt. Everything aches. And maybe their aging catches up to them.
So it's like, it's a quick sprint of my heart is fading fast right now while we're near you. I got to get away so I can kind of get back to a stasis.
And get back to, I'm incentivized to come to a deal quickly with you to preserve myself. Because when both covens come together, they're basically looking at progress bars to see, you know, one green and one black, to see who's making more progress towards hitting their goal. And I don't think necessarily even they know what they're working towards.
They don't know what the other one is doing?
They don't know what the other one is doing to achieve their goals.
They know what their own goal is, though.
But they don't know, all they can see is the progress bars. And they know it's something where, we're trying to determine the fate of the land, the kingdom. They're trying to determine the fate of the land. It's like a competition. It's like a game.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't each know what the other one is explicitly working towards. They can just see who's getting closer. So it's like two progress bars next to each other type of thing. And for me, I always like to have... I love domains. I love mechanics. I love all that shit. So for me, the covens each are four. The coven of the black is... the Witch of Pestilence, the Witch of Famine, the Witch of War,
Apocalypse,
the Witch of Death.
Yeah.
But then on the other side, their counterparts, the Witch of Green.
It's like life.
The Coven of the Green, it's life, the Witch of Life, the Witch of Harmony, the Witch of Plenty, and the Witch of...
What are you trying to counteract? Pestilence?
Purity. Yes, the Witch of Purity. And so those are the four.
Everybody gets a ring.
Everyone gets a ring. But so those are the four. And so they each have their own sort of areas of expertise. They're not domains. They don't govern them. They're just areas of expertise. But the way that they manifest is that it's all based on feelings, almost like an aura. And this is similar to the Worlds Beyond Number. But when you are near the Witch of Famine, you are starving. And you are not only starving for food, but suddenly you are just greedy in all senses because you feel like you do not have enough.
Mm-hmm.
So you are anxious. You are nervous. You need constant reassurance from people because you are this feeling of I don't have enough.
So this is you... fulfilling what you had said at the end of mine about making sure the scale is small.
It's correct.
Like this is a small scale effect. The Witch of Pestilence does not get to cause a COVID-19 level plague across the world. They are in the room that they're in. People start to feel a little bit ill.
They feel a little bit ill,
uh-huh.
But it's also they are more vulnerable to corruption. They're not as pure. They're not able to hold true to themselves. They are more malleable to outside influence. Again, getting into that metaphor thing.
Yeah.
When you're around the Witch of War, you are angry. You are irritable. You are stubborn. You are all of... You're not necessarily trying to stab everybody. You're not full Aries.
Yeah.
But we've all had a bad day when
you had a bad day.
you know, and suddenly someone walks too fast or drives too fast and almost comes close to hitting you, and you're like, I am 1 second away from snapping and hitting this car.
Yeah.
And you're sort of at that feeling mm-hmm. all the time when you're in The Witch of War. When you're with The Witch, and then flip it on the other side, The Witch of Harmony, you are...
You're more at peace. You're more willing to reconcile with people. You're more willing to give somebody a pass. You're more willing to do anything good.
Right.
So it's... my first reaction to that, the aura specifically, is I think you need to have an on-off switch.
You're the witch. Yes,
like,
good call.
Because you, like, it'd be so easy to just determine, hey, when this person's in the room, everybody gets really angry. Maybe they're up to something. Or yeah. maybe they're a bad influence. We should just get rid of them. And they might not know it's malicious.
And that would impede their ability to
so
machinate.
They need to be like...
It's a good idea.
You know, because they are... I mean, they're witches. They're clever. They're, you know, they're good at manipulating. They're good at weaseling. So they need to be... they need to know when they would know inherently when to turn on that extra juice of the aura, and then otherwise they would just be acting rather yep. normal. I think going back to the when they come together, I think the progress bar thing, I don't like that.
Okay,
because I like the idea that it's just that they might come together every once in a while, and they don't know what the other group is up to, and they don't know how it's going. I think it's better if they need to do like intelligence gathering on each other, because they're like, I don't know what the fucking apocalypse witches are doing, but yeah. we need to figure it out. And they might just like be like a bit of like a taunting of, you know, like a let's talk some shit. And you're like, okay, let me suss out what I can of that. But they might just have a general sense of they're clearly trying to make all of their respective things happen. Hmm. This person is trying to make some war start. We know that.
Yeah.
We just don't know what war they're trying to start.
Yeah.
But then they hear that these two kingdoms are getting a little bit tense. The Witch of Harmony will go, oh, fuck, she's over there.
And I got to go deal.
I got to go there. But then it could be that she's already run away. She's at another kingdom starting some other shit. And so it's a constant chasing down the right. lead to chase down like and stamp out the problem that's being started.
And similarly, if it would work both ways. So if the Coven of the Black started hearing about, oh, there's this community that suddenly is seeing a surge in childbirth, they're growing, they're thriving,
we gotta go deal with that.
That's because the Witch of Life is there, and yeah. what's the Witch of Life's aura makes everyone horny. And so the Witch of Death and Happy and just sort of like that exuberant high state yeah. of life, almost manic. It's not because I want to get away from good and evil, good and bad. It's like, this is about bigger picture balance.
Yeah. But they're saying, you know, like it's a Malthusian approach yeah. to life of population growth is too high. Things are too good. We're going to hit a peak where things are going to get yep. chaotic. We need to just, you know, have the little balance or the Thanos moment that yep. like, I need to do something because things are getting out of whack.
And that's where the Coven of the Black can step in. And the Witch of Death comes in and brings like this lack of desire. Basically, you become depressed around the Witch of Death. It's everything's quiet. It's null. It's like, I know when I get depressed or I have a depressive episode, I always describe it as like it's throat singing in my internal monologue. It's just whoa. And that's sort of that feeling of being around the Witch of Death.
I don't watch Dune now, but bringing back in that point about scale, because it's so important to keep this grounded in being witchy and not becoming gods and mm-hmm. deity-based combat,
yep.
Because it kind of has that sense of it. You could pivot it to say these are actually demigods, or these are, mm-hmm. you know, orders of paladins or priests or whatever. Like, you can take the same idea and kind of pivot it around.
You can scale it up and down.
You can scale it up and down.
That's the point.
And, like, putting the witch skin on it gets it this specific thing of there's the four of them, the idea that they do come to Coven together every once in a while for whatever needs, and that whole dynamic is really cool of mm-hmm. them balancing each other out and not, you know, becoming null in their powers. Right. And, like, you know, is there a moment where, you know, the four witches are on one side are actually quite old and they're nearing death, and they say, fuck it, we're going to attack when we go to Coven, and we'll kill them so we all reset.
Because they're as vulnerable as we are, yeah.
Yeah, and then, but that way they don't have a head start and they don't get to run away with things for 4 years, or, you know, for 20 years while our new witches are like bred or, you know,
coming, being trained.
Yeah, or come into being, you know, like, I don't know how, like in, you know, I think we can hand wave that for now, but just like, how does the replacement come about? And it might just be that they're all kind of reincarnated each time, and just like, oh shit, I gotta be a kid again. I'm, you know, at 13 I become the witch, you know, the typical hag rules,
right?
I don't know, but like,
and that's, well, that's why I came up with the progress bars, because I wanted there to be a lore reason for that forced them to come to Coven together. So that I don't think you need it. It was just, that's what I was thinking.
I mean, you could just, you could make it that they have to come together at least annually to balance each other out. Like, because, you know, if you're the witch of life, you might be coming, super horny yourself. Like,
and
they could be, far into their own thing. So witch of pestilence is actually becoming ill because they need the purity to kind of like, be a cleanse and reset their own feature.
Yeah, and like, in counterpoint, the Witch of Purity can sort of get to the point of, I have avoided so many illnesses that like, I am becoming more vulnerable, sort of the...
Had any lows, so I can't have these highs anymore.
Yeah, and like, my immune system is becoming weak because it's not been exposed to so much. Like, you know, it's like you...
Yeah, it's over-sterilization.
Yeah. Oh, that's the word I was looking for. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, if you keep the scale small and mysterious, I think it's really fun because it takes these big cosmic concepts, and I'm trying to find ways to take these big cosmic concepts and just make them very human. That's the point of the auras, is like, how do you take these things and make them like into influencing human activities? Everything else is the same. They have familiars, they do curses, they do deals, they make potions, however they want to do it, right?
Yeah. And they're always up to some weird plan, and it's always based around the same basic topic of, I want to start a war. I want to make people depressed and die. Yeah. I want to cause a plague. It's the same basic things. And then I think the idea that they're kind of chasing each other in a way, and you know, they're, you know, and that works really well. I think it's cool. I think it's a good idea. So, all right, Ethan, let's turn on that microwave.
I'm feeling a little hungry. What, you gonna microwave something for me?
Yeah. Beep. Give me 1 minute. Go.
This is a witch coven. Every witch has a different song, but they are all different. That's how their power manifests, is only through song and music and rhythm. Uh-huh. And when you bring them together, that's when they form a full chorus and a band.
Yeah.
And maybe not a band. I actually hate the band. Nix the band. It's more like an a cappella group, where you bring them all together and their magic just kind of works through song, but it's, everything is about singing.
Okay. Cool.
For you, Kyle. Ding.
My frozen lasagna here is that it's a witch coven, witches that don't know who their fellow witches are, and they exist in the world, and they have to find them at some point in their lives. They have to like track them down and be like kind of like a hot and cold, like, you know, you're getting warmer, you're getting warmer type thing, to figure out who it is so they can get more power. But they don't like
oh, because they need witches for coven.
They need witches for coven, but they don't know who they are, and they don't know where they are, and they need to figure it out. So they just like, it's this slow process of like eventually discovering it, and then you know, like, you find one, and then you're like, okay, great, now we can work together and we can find the next one, and they keep doing that to try to find the third. So yeah, that's it.
I love that. That's super cool. That might be the segue. That might be what stuck for me, actually. I think that's really cool.
That seems recency bias, but okay.
No, but it is. It's a great story mechanic. It's a great, it hits on all the same witch tropes. It's really very elegant.
Okay.
And a great story mechanic. That might be what stuck for me. What stuck for you?
All right, cool.
I'm sure there will be more as I think about it, but what stuck for you?
I think it's I think nothing in particular is really standing out specifically. I think they're both super good ideas. I think probably the auras are really cool to me of the witches from yours, and the idea that they're like, it's the, you know, the chase of the Witch of Pestilence going around causing a plague, and which is, you know, like not an atypical thing for like a witch to do, but then it's like their whole goal is to kind of create this little bit of chaos and to probably also then distract the Witch of Purity while they go and do another thing somewhere else. And so it's like this, you know, it's like, it's a cop and criminal kind of dynamic in a way, but then making it where you could also have it be the inverse, where the good witches have found time to create good dynamics somewhere, and then the bad witches have to come in and try and wreck it.
Right.
And, you know,
rebalance it out.
And in that situation, you might have a situation where the good witches are defending, where they're saying, no, we've made a perfect community. This is our new play. Is it, we're going to make a,
that's smart.
We're going to make a kingdom that is perfect in every way because we have like pure good and we're going to defend it. So if you get close, we cancel out, but we've created the conditions that allow it to work.
Yeah.
So now you have to go old school if you want this to work.
Right.
You have to manipulate through only your actions and your words. You can't use your aura anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that could be really fun.
That's really fun. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I really like that. That's a great addition, a great point. It's like, yeah, each year they have to, if they reset annually, they have to try different strategies and figure out what's their plan for this year. How are they going to do it? I like that. That's very cool.
It's like in any game, the meta shifts over time.
Yeah.
And like, oh, the new meta is that the good witches actually just work on one spot, make it good, and they don't care if the rest of the world falls apart because they've got that like shining beacon that will draw in people, much like taking in the Avoria concept of that, like they will bring in, they will incentivize people to move there. And and then the evil witches are like, fuck, how do we break through? Because if we get close, we lose it.
It's like their strategy for the year could have been, we're not using our auras.
Yeah.
Like we're like, as you said, there's an on off switch. So they're deliberately like, we are just using the power of persuasion, no magic involved. And we're
that seems silly.
Because then you might be able to fly under the radar of the other coven.
Oh, interesting.
And so that might be, and you could play around with it. But your point about Avoria being a place to draw people in, I think at the end of the day is really what stuck for me, is the idea of witches' power coming from a place where there is lots of humanity, where there is lots of life. It's a very big reversal. And a place having power because people are there, not because of some external source, but simply just because people are there, witches are incentivized to maintain their power. So they want to make it a attractive place to come and be and maintain it. Again, that pursuit of utopia, I think that flip is brilliant.
Yeah. Oh. We might not have been particularly spooky, but witches are Halloween
that's
enough.
What you think, my pretty?
Ah, creepy. All right. Well, that's what stuck for us. Let us know what stuck for you. Email's in the show notes.
Thank you for listening, dearies.